Good morning. You've heard the term EDI. That basically stands for Early Hearing Detection Intervention. So that term's been passed around a couple times today. And I'm going to talk specifically about how the EDI program has tried to embrace electronic health records. Hopefully some of the lessons that we've learned we can pass on to you, and so you get a better understanding of potentially a roadmap of how we proceeded. And essentially the three areas that I really want to focus on are standards harmonization, electronic health record interoperability, and quality measure development. As background, newborn hearing screening is one of the 30 core conditions that is currently recommended by the Secretary's Advisory Committee, and it's also recommended by the U.S. Preventive Task Force that all newborns be screened for hearing loss. It is the most common condition that is screened in the newborn period. As you can see, it is considerably higher than the other conditions that are screened by newborn blood spot screening, including congenital hypothyroidism, sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and the other conditions. There are obviously negative consequences from an undiagnosed hearing loss in infants, but primarily impacting the child's ability to develop communication, language, social skills, and school achievement. The costs that have been estimated is an increase of about $115,000 per child in the United States. And so we've calculated that the early identification and then the intervention into these children for education, that we actually are saving about $200 million each year. Those were based on 2007 values. What is EDI? The basis for EDI are basically three goals. And that is that all newborns be screened for hearing loss no later than 1 month of age. Usually before hospital discharge, that any child that does not pass their hearing screening, that they be diagnosed by 3 months of age, and that any child diagnosed with a hearing loss receives appropriate intervention by 6 months of age. Over the last decade, we've made considerable success in how we've done hearing screening. When we started out a little over a decade ago, less than half of the children in the United States were being screened for hearing loss. Presently, we're screening over 97% of the children in the United States. We can document that their hearing has been screened. So that's the success. Last year in 2009, over 5,000 infants were diagnosed in the United States that we could document with permanent hearing loss, and over two-thirds of those children were diagnosed before 3 months of age, which is our healthy people goal. But if you look at that big red circle there, there's our problem, and that is slightly less than half of the children that don't pass their hearing screening, we can't document that these children have received diagnostic services. And so one of the things we're looking at is electronic health records. There's a considerable amount of data that we want to be able to collect. We want to be able to get screening data. We want to get diagnostic information. We want to get early intervention data. Primarily the electronic health records, what we're looking at is trying to get that screening data, and so that's really what we've been focusing on at this point in time. Excuse me. So the benefits, we see that there are a number of benefits at several levels. We see increased benefits for electronic health records in hospitals, decreasing data entry cost, stopping duplicate data entry. We can actually conduct some automated risk management, and I'll show you some examples of that, and some quality assurance measures. There's the benefit for the states, and that's primarily what we've been focusing on in our efforts, and that is to reduce the expense of documenting services that are already being provided. Too many times we see what EDI programs are doing is they're calling up parents and they're saying, what happened to your child? Oh, the child's already been tested. So we're spending a lot of time just trying to capture data that could have been reported to the state program. We're looking at trying to get data standards so that we can provide information, we can compare data at the federal level between states, and so that states have a good, accurate way of reporting for federal reporting. We think that electronic health records will empower the families, providing them with access to their own information to improve, putting the power at the family. Hopefully that we can transition from really a provider-focused health system to a patient-family-focused healthcare system. Also, benefits for healthcare providers, that we want to make sure that providers have access to all screening results. No news is no news. It's not good news. We want to make sure that all screening results are available to primary care providers. We want to be able to provide clinical decision support, and again, assure that children receiving appropriate services throughout their lifetime. Also, early intervention, we're seeing advantages where actually in the educational system that we can have eligibility determination created, we can share consent information and assure that children, again, are receiving appropriate services. So getting back to the core of today's presentation, talking about standards really sort of form that base for interoperability. If we can get the standards there, then we can start talking about how we can get data moving between systems. We've been involved with data standards harmonization. Primarily, we've been working with the National Library of Medicine. If you go out to their website, you can find the standards that have been developed for newborn screening. This is for both blood spot screening and for hearing screening. You can see that one of those conditions that National Library of Medicine has created is on hearing loss, plus the other metabolic conditions. We've developed LOINC codes that have been developed for the testing of screening, so we know what type of screening has occurred. We know the results of that. We've developed the LOINC codes that have been developed for the results of the hearing testing. If you want to learn more about that, I'd suggest you attend the session tomorrow at 4:10. Basically, this is a presentation on what National Library of Medicine did in creation of this coding system. We also work very closely with FinVADS, and much of the information that was created by NLM has been captured within FinVADS. If you actually go out to the FinVADS website, you can just type in EDI and you'll find all the codes that we've already identified. These include both the codes for the LOINC codes for newborn screening, plus SNOMED codes. We've got diagnostic codes in there. We've also have risk factors for children to have a higher chance of developing hearing loss. If you want to learn more about FinVADS, I suggest that you attend the session Thursday, which is actually a post-conference event. I think that's also in your program. Interoperability, we've been moving in this area as well. The term interoperability has been new to a number of people. I've taken an example here of how I view interoperability, that we actually, people are using it every day. If the reason that these systems, whether you're trying to, if you're using Expedia, Kayak, or Orbitz, or any of the others, the reason that those work is because those data standards are underneath it. So that if you put in all three of these systems, understand that ATL is for Atlanta, DCA is for Reagan National, the time systems are all basically standardized. So these systems can talk to each other with the basis of those standards below. All right, how many people have seen the Standards and Interoperability Framework function from the Office of National Coordinator? Okay. So this is a framework that has been developed by ONC. Much of the activity that we've been involved with the EDI program has followed this. We had use case development back in 2008, and we were working with the American Health Information Community. We developed use cases at that time. In 2009, we started working with the Health Information Technology Standards Panel. We developed interoperability specifications. Then we moved on to working with integrating the healthcare enterprise. We developed the implementation specifications. In 2011 of this year, in January, we went to Chicago and we tested our interoperability specifications at the North American Connectathon. And after that successful testing in Chicago, we moved on to Orlando. We actually demonstrated our use case at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase. The next step that we'll be looking at is moving towards that certification and testing. So that's our next big challenge. So this is the integration profile that we developed through IHE and through the QRF, the Quality Research and Public Health Committee. There were five use cases built in within this one use case in terms of audiological diagnosis, how we refer to intervention, the continued surveillance of children that would develop late onset. We also had this early hearing care plan, which is essentially clinical decision support. We identified all the LOINC codes and SNOMED codes, and then also some quality measures were all built into this integration profile. This is basically a sort of a flow chart of how that information is, how we're capturing that information. We take information from the electronic health record, the labor and discharge summary, capture that data from the screening data, we actually capture the screening results from the screening equipment, combine that, send that into public health. Public health then creates this early hearing care plan, and that's sent on to the medical home. We provide all the clinical decision support that provides the clinical decision support. All that the early hearing care plan is developed specifically by each jurisdiction, so it can be, it's not a national care plan. It's essentially developed by the state program. So this is a picture of what we did in at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase. And you can see off to the right, there's a little bassinet over there. That was simulating where we actually had the hearing screening being done in the hospital. To make this actually work, what had happened was we had a lot of people. We had Epic and GE Healthcare serve as our EHRs for the hospital. We had Oz Systems serving as our public health. We had Success EHS in Greenway as our ambulatory care, and we had Siemens working as our quality measures. So seeing all these people working together was, for me, quite amazing when you see people that generally were competitors, but they're all working together to make this a successful test and demonstration. I have to point out the work that's going on with the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, particularly a kudos to Anna Orlova and Lori Forquette, who really helped us with the development of our profiles. We're continuing to move forward. Today you have a chance to go to the Interoperability Showcase. We have combined our use case with Vital Records. There's a number of the use cases that are being developed today. I'd suggest that you go down, just go across over here to the exhibit hall, pick up one of the Interoperability Showcase brochures. There are several presentations that are being held over the next 3 days in terms of viewing these use cases, including the public health reporting for laboratories and reporting to public health registries for electronic health alerts. We've got our vital registration and care coordination for newborn hearing screening. There's a use case on immunization. There's a use case on anatomic pathology and physician reporting to public health cancer registry. So you have a unique opportunity during the next 2 days to actually see these kinds of activities in action, see what the vendors are doing in terms of moving the data around, and truly seeing how interoperability can be used in public health. Specifically, the demonstrations that we have for vital registration and newborn hearing screening, actually right after this presentation, we're going to be having one of the demonstrations. And in fact, if you stay, I'll walk you over there, and we'll give you sort of a VIP tour. So just stick around. We'll head over there at noon or maybe shortly before, and you can have your very own interoperability showcase. If you can't make it at noon, here are the other times. And again, you can find those in the schedule of those in the showcase brochure. We're continuing to move forward. We're continuing our work with IHE. We're specifically moving more forward on our early hearing care plan. We're also working on some quality measures and redefining them. There was a public comment period on these that ended back in July of this year. Then we're moving also to the third area in terms of what we've had our activities in terms of quality measure development. I'm sure everybody has heard about meaningful use. Anybody not hear what meaningful use is? But essentially, we're looking at the stimulus package and providing incentives In its final rule, CMS did state that newborn screening, both as a clinical quality measure and from a data standards perspective, is a candidate for inclusion in stage two. And they're continuing to move with their commitment for measurement development. Again, from the final rule, when selecting measures that must be reported to demonstrate EHR meaningful use, the HITECH Act, which is part of the stimulus package, requires that CMS give clinical preference to quality measures that are National Quality Forum endorsed. We've been working with NQF. Actually, last Monday, a week ago, our measures were fully endorsed by the board of directors of NQF. This was a process that actually began in July of last year. We have these measures, so we now have these fully endorsed measures that we're moving forward for EHR. Again, we'll have our next steps today. The next 2 days, we've got the interoperability showcase here at PHI. We're going to move forward with our profile for testing in Chicago in 2012, and hopefully we'll be able to do another interoperability showcase in Las Vegas in 2012. We're also continue to move with quality measures. We're going to be submitting a new quality measure. NQF has just announced the next round of submission for quality measures for perinatal measurements, and we'll be submitting for that. We're also keeping our eyes in terms of syndromic surveillance. The Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists is looking at reportable conditions. They've got their reportable conditions mapping table. Newborn hearing screening is a reportable condition in 33 of the states in the United States, so we're thinking that potentially we might be able to sort of piggyback on the work that's going forward with that. If you want to learn more about the lab reporting, I'd suggest this session tomorrow, but at this time. We're also moving forward with IHE in terms of public health reporting. And I also want to just point out, recognize the work of Wendy Blumenthal from CDC and Michelle Williamson from NCHS at CDC. They've been very helpful with us in terms of our developing our EDI profiles within IHE. And they're part of the effort, too, to be moving the public health reporting workflow forward. And there's a new initiative that's being submitted to the Office of the National Coordinator for public health reporting. This is a new initiative. It has to do the use cases and scenarios about reporting from electronic health records to local and state federal agencies, and then from state agencies reporting to federal agencies. The public period should be comment period, and I don't see anybody in the room that can give me the exact date on this. This public comment period should be opening very soon. So you can go out to the ONC website. Is it on the website? Not positive on that one. But that public period will be open here for a month or so. And then we're going to submit this initiative to ONC hopefully at the end of September. If you want to learn more about that, and that's where you can find more information, tomorrow between 1:30 and 3 is that session on this public health reporting initiative. And that's my presentation. Andy. And I'll take you over to the showcase if you stick around.
Thank you, John. We have some time for some questions. Are there any questions for any of the panel members? Yes.
First of all, congratulations. Excellent display of a model for actually what kind of health records. Maybe over the showcase you're going to demonstrate this, but are you working with states on registries and on use of
statewide health information exchanges for your surveillance and development of registries? Do you want to take this, John?
I'm only speaking for my program. I know that there's a lot of interest in this area, The question was, what are we doing with registries? I think there's other programs within the center that are looking for it. The newborn hearing screening is really a surveillance and tracking system that's developed in the state, so it goes well beyond a registry. So I'm thinking maybe Asha or Tiffany might want to talk more about the registries.
Right. Well, you know, the plan hopefully is to look at registries, although registries is always a certain number of patients in a defined certain group of people. And so if you're trying to get population-based data, sometimes registries aren't always the best way, but they are definitely can be utilized in getting at some of these answers and to some of these questions. So we are in the process of looking at joining forces, specifically in the area of congenital heart defects, looking at registries and areas for adult congenital heart defects, getting some answers to that.
And also, so far, all the work, the conditions that our center has been working on, we haven't had anything specific, you know, for surveillance. Everything is, things haven't even started up. We don't even have basic epidemiology. But if there are registries for certain conditions, we would certainly look at them as sources of data. But we would also, right now, we're concentrating on how to get them from the EHR. But if there are registries, we would certainly like to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, we would certainly love to work with exchanges. That would be the next step, I think. Because if you see the CHD pilot that we're doing at Emory, it's just one EMR system. We would like to do it at an HIE level, working with some major providers. But if we can try a pilot, especially with our algorithm, we would like to try that algorithm at an HIE level, certainly.
And at the interoperability showcase, you'll actually see we sort of have an in-house HIE that we're using. I mean, it's demonstrating, it's not live, obviously, but it's so you can sort of see how the HIE would fit into the interoperability that we're discussing.
Yes.
I think what Teresa's talking about is basically point-of-care screening in the hospital, where we'll be looking at potentially for pulse oximetry to look for critical congenital heart disease. This is a new condition that's now being explored by the Secretary's Advisory Committee. I'd say it's still brewing. I don't think it's really been the there's a lot of issues with it in terms of how it's going to be followed. What data systems would be used. So I don't think at this point in time it's really ready for prime time, if that answers it.
Yeah, and I'll answer it a little bit further there as far as CDC's activities. I mean, there is a specific work group and group of people that are looking at, you know, how is it going to be implemented? How are we going to get data from it? How can we help write the standards of creating the guidelines for this? So we are aware of it, and we're trying to work with the Secretary General as well.
One last comment on that. I think Eddie being another point of service screening measurement, we can learn the good and the bad from the decades plus that we have experienced with early hearing.
And I also think the effectiveness of CCHD screening, like using pulse oximetry, maybe relative to where it's located, what type of area services that are provided in those areas. For example, in Atlanta, there's a robust pediatric cardiology community already in place, and hospitals already refer even a baby looks the slightest bit abnormal to have somebody out there to look at it. However, in a rural area where the pulse ox may be the only tool they have, this could be very useful. So some of the utility of this is still being worked out as well.
Are there any other questions for the panel? All right, with that, we'll conclude. Thank you for your attendance, and please don't forget to fill out the evaluation forms.
Thank you.